This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
When the market fails, premature babies. But first, Egypt gets an interim prime minister with an economics background.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Today, Egypt's newly appointed prime minister is expected to name his cabinet. Military leaders who seized power from the democratically elected regime are still promising new elections early in the new year. The BBC's Middle East correspondent Jim Muir joins us from Cairo. Morning, Jim.
Hello there. How are you doing?
The man tapped to be interim prime minister in Egypt is Hazem el-Bablawi. What do we know about him?
Well, he is a very well-known and highly respected economist. He was actually deputy prime minister briefly a couple of years ago, just after the overthrow of President Mubarak, and has now been appointed acting or interim prime minister. Now, so he brings to that job a wealth of expertise in all the kind of economic areas that the government desperately needs. He's very well known abroad. He's particularly strong in the Arabian Gulf. And it's perhaps no coincidence that the announcement of his appointment coincided with announcements from Saudi Arabia and the UAE, the Emirates, that they're granting $8 billion of aid in one form or another to the new Egypt.
Now, the aid from the UAE suggests that work can be done to help stabilize the Egyptian economy, even during this interim process ahead of the promised election.
Well, I think that infusion of money may stave off a total collapse or bankruptcy on the part of the central bank, which has to fund credits, for example, importing food during Ramadan, which started today. But I think everybody realizes that you can't have economic progress, stability, etc., without political stability. And the focus has to be on getting government that is acceptable, at least to the majority of the political forces, which means at least some Islamist sections have to be included as well.
Jim, where are you right now?
I right now am on top of a mosque overlooking the big intersection, which has become the kind of epicenter of the Muslim Brotherhood's presence here. It was just a few hundred yards up the road to my west that the what they're calling here a massacre took place on Monday morning, with more than 50 of the people here who were gunned down at dawn by security forces in disputed circumstances, of course. But now the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood, their supreme guide, and various other top officials have apparently got arrest warrants out for them. So the way they see it, this will, I think, further increase their feeling that they are the victims in this affair.
The BBC's Middle East correspondent Jim Muir atop a mosque in Cairo. Jim, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Federal regulators in Washington have labeled insurer American International Group, that's AIG, and General Electric's finance arm as potential threats to the financial system. The two companies will be the first to be designated systemically important. As a result, they'll have to live with stricter government oversight and have to boost their financial cushions against losses and limit their use of borrowed money. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke is scheduled to talk about the Fed's first 100 years at a conference in Massachusetts today. It could be an opportunity for him to elaborate on the thinking of Fed policymakers at their June meeting on interest rates. The Fed will release the minutes of its policy meeting also today.
show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
If there is a crucial need, markets will provide. Not always, and not in the case of critical nutrients needed to help premature babies. Turns out America is facing a bizarre shortage of medical-grade basic nutrients such as phosphorus and zinc. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette did some reporting on this recently. Neonatal intensive care units scavenging for the stuff to keep preemies alive, sometimes taking from adult patients elsewhere in the hospital. One of the big companies that processes the nutrients shut down after inspectors called for improvements at the factory. Jay Murtalo is a professor of clinical pharmacy at Ohio State who follows this. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
So these minerals, these nutrients, are crucial stuff?
Oh, yes, especially in individuals that can't take nourishment by mouth or normal means. The only way we can provide it is intravenously.
And some neonatal wards have been left essentially scrambling for the stuff?
Oh, yes. Our National Society for Parenteral and Enteral Nutrition gets frequent calls from clinicians that work in the intensive care units and children's hospitals trying to find if there's anyone that we know from our membership that might have supplies that can share them or how they might be able to get supplies in different areas.
I was reading that some of the origin of the problem has to do with contamination turning up at a factory during an inspection. So they closed the factory and they didn't want to reopen the factory. It wasn't really cost effective.
Is more complex than just making pills or tablets. It's quite expensive to keep these lines up and running. The quality control is very sophisticated. It's difficult to get raw material supply of a pharmaceutical grade, and there's not a lot of manufacturers that make it. If one of them has a production line problem, then the other one doesn't really have enough capacity to increase to avoid a shortage from occurring.
The Europeans are apparently shaking their heads about the U.S. letting this get away from us. Is there something that Washington regulators might do to bring some order to this market?
We've been trying to work with the FDA and our regulators to see if when we do have problems with production from U.S. firms, if there's an ability to import from European firms. But that's something that takes a while to determine since we've had our own process working with our own plants. And the European markets and other markets haven't really developed the same way we have for our safety and measures. And the FDA rightly has, I think, to help develop the safest pharmaceutical supply system in the world. And we've got to make sure that we can still maintain that even though we're struggling with these individual products.
Ohio State Professor Jay Murtalo is also past president of the American Society for Parenteral and Enteral Nutrition. Professor, thank you.
Thank you so much.
This is a case of the economy not allocating resources to a pressing need. Can you think of other examples of notable market failures? You can Facebook us at APM Marketplace. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.